Shooting the Shiznit is exclusively sponsored this month by SpunkLube.com. SpunkLube is an award-winning personal lubricant that's fun. SpunkLube is available in four varieties: hybrid, pure silicone, natural, and pink. The newest addition to the SpunkLube family is SpunkLube Pink. The pink formula is colorful and fun to use. It's a special hybrid formula that's non-sticky and non-staining. All of their products are shipped in discreet packaging from D Enterprises. Please go to SpunkLube.com and order a unique, fun-to-use personal lubricant.
Have you listened to episode 106? Our guest is Anthony Henry, and he's our guest for this episode. Here's a clip. Listen to all the archives at www.stspod.club. Did you get trained at? And we all know it does. The ability always isn't there when we get Tojo Yamamoto trained by Bobby Eaton. So, you know, we know how sometimes you may not be at a school that people's heard of, but who were you officially trained by?
Yeah. So again, this is another one of those things where it's like, all right, so when do we decide, you know, when we are trained? Because I technically started in 2002 and I, was trained at a school in Augusta, Georgia, by a guy. He's a very nice guy. You know, he even shows up to any of the shows that, I happen to do that are close by. He'll show up and say hello and stuff. But he was never really a worker. He was a referee at best and a local referee at best, you know. So he didn't really know what was going on, but I did learn how to bump and things like that. And that was at a school at the time. It was called NWF. Where I really got trained, where I really kind of like started figuring, you know, out what was real, was when I went to NWA Wildside back in the day. I ended up moving to Athens, Georgia, which is like an hour away from Cornelia. And that's where I really would say I was trained officially. And that was by Todd Sexton and Sal Renaro. And that was in 2003, 2004. I started going up there all the time.
Awesome. And that's, you spend, I took some of my...
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Let's start the party.
It's time again for the Super Summer Sizzler Shiznit giveaway. All you have to do to win is, retweet. That's right. Three winners from July the 5th to July 31st will be picked. And all you have to do is retweet an episode during that time. Three winners picked for three lunchboxes. You can choose between a WWE Championship belt, the Balor Club lunchbox, or Booty O's lunchbox. Each lunchbox will have a Nano Metal WWE action figure, a Dr. X replica mask, and a bottle of Spunk Lube from our sponsor this month. I will draw three winners on August the 1st. First place will get to choose which lunchbox that they want and see what extra prize is in the lunchbox. One person will not get anything in the lunchbox. One person will get a coupon for an exclusive all-in Shooting the Shiznit t-shirt. And one winner, I guess you can call them a loser, will get a How You Doing t-shirt. That's right. So all you gotta do, brother, is retweet.
Stop right there. Not only do we have a contest for the month of July, but I, Lance Levine, also known as Lance LeSwine, will be hosting all of the episodes of the flagship show, Shooting the Shiznit. That is right. I am kicking BT to the curb for the month of July. So now, on with the show. Did I do that? I did that better than BT, right? I definitely did. And I love my mama, too.
Mother Joe B.S.G.
Hey, and we are back from the Totino's Pizza Roll Studios here in Chicago. Of course, Totino's, gotta love those pizza rolls. And we are with, today's guest is indie darling, Anthony Henry. Welcome to the show, Anthony.
Hey, what's going on? Indie darling, is that
I
what
think
I am
so.
On?
I think so, man, because I went back and I did a lot of research. I am in Chicago, and I think you might already know that I've seen you a handful of times now at Freelance, and you've done such an amazing job that when this opportunity came up to talk to you again, I had to jump on that because I thought the stuff you've done in Freelance has just been outstanding. And I hadn't seen too much of your other stuff, but I went back and watched a whole bunch of stuff on YouTube. You're the man. You are outstanding in the ring, brother.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. That was, a long time ago, like when I first, got into, independent wrestling back when Loki and guys like that were kind of paving the way. I always said, I didn't care about WWE so much. I wanted to be an indie darling. So if that's what I'm classified as now, then that's pretty cool.
I think so, man, because I was like, the one thing I was jotting down some notes, and again, having seen you about a half dozen times now in Freelance, by the way, Stevie Fierce said to say hello. Don't know if you saw the tweet, but he called you a silly bitch on Twitter last night. So just wanted to pass that along to make sure you were aware.
I did see it. I didn't respond because I was going to wait to respond on air. And then my response is simple. My response is that I got his bitch.
So I like totally, you came out of left field when you first started in Freelance. I hadn't seen very much of your stuff, but I was looking at your resume. Go ahead, rattle off your resume, man. Where have you been? What promotions have you worked for?
I am signed with Evolve Wrestling, so I've been with Evolve for the better part of a year and just now actually signed. So that's, I guess, what you would say is my main promotion that I guess a lot of people know me from.
Right.
Obviously, we do the freelance stuff. It has become a regular thing now, so we are, my partner James Drake and I, we are the tag champs there now, so that's cool. PWX is kind of like the place that I would say is like my original like home promotion. That's kind of the place that booked me in such a way that was going to allow for me to kind of get out there more. And it's still like one of my favorite places to wrestle. And that is, if you're not familiar, that is the, let me sure I get this right because I always say their name wrong and I've been there forever, but Premier Wrestling Experience. That is their full name, and that's mostly located in North Carolina. They run all over the state. And then XWA, which is in Rhode Island. That's another major promotion that I work for often. Also tag champs there. You'll see me sometimes pop up in the Midwest, other than Chicago, but you'll see me pop up in Indiana. Sometimes I work for IWA Mid-South and any other promotion that's around the area that's, because I do like that area. Really, I just try to get everywhere, man.
Yeah. What's the furthest away from home you've ever been as far as working?
California.
Okay.
Yeah. So, started doing some shows, in SoCal and, for a company called Maverick Pro. And so I think the flight's like something, I don't even know, 5, 6, 7 hours, something crazy. And then you got the time lapse and everything, or the time difference. And, that's probably the furthest place I've been.
Yeah. So I know that, in part one of the interview a couple months ago with BT, you talked about New Japan, and doing the dojo. Where are you standing with that? I know you were trying to get out there. You were trying to get out to the West Coast to work that.
Yeah. That was it. So for me, like I said kind of earlier, the whole indie darling statement and how WWE wasn't necessarily the goal, although like I said, and if you're a professional wrestler, like if WWE happens, you never want to say just never. But it's not thrown out the window or anything. But my goal was always the indie darling thing, which is cool. And then also to go to Japan. Like Japan is always, I have an affinity for Japanese wrestling. I watch a whole lot of wrestling in general, but I never stopped being a fan, but I've always been a huge fan of Japanese wrestling and the culture. So yes, I would love to do it. But I have signed the deal with Evolve. And so that kind of puts a roadblock there for the time being. Doesn't mean that I can't pursue, other Japanese companies, but New Japan right now is not something that I can do.
Okay. You had talked about, you know, God, all the dozens and dozens probably of indies that you worked. How does a guy like you that, you know, you've been around for about 16 years now or so, how do you make your name on the indies? How do you get your name out there? How do you become in demand? Like, you know, when you first came here, they put you in with one of their top guys in Chicago. And now you've already got the tag belts here. So how do you make a name for yourself? How do you create demand?
Yeah, well, I mean, like you said, 16 years, and I did take a little bit of a hiatus, but you know, still, it's a long time to be in the business. And I would say probably the last 3 or 4 years have been, you know, kind of about 4 years ago is probably the start of kind of my rise, if you will. Mm-hmm. And I think it came down to, one, me getting out of a certain area, because I was like a lot of guys, I was one of those guys who I stayed around my region, if you mm-hmm. will. So I was in Georgia mostly, maybe sometimes South Carolina, you know, but I didn't really venture off too much out of the area. And that is, you're killing yourself by doing that. And a lot mm-hmm. of guys do it, but I finally got out. And you know, once I got out, which basically that was kind of the start of me working for PWX, the Premier Wrestling Experience. And that's kind of a place, like, if I had to liken it to anything else, I would say that PWX is kind of like the Southeast version of like PWG at this mm-hmm. point. They're kind of like the super indie of the Southeast, if you will. And so I had the opportunity, you know, after working there for a while, to they brought in guys, and I was kind of the guy who had the Dream Match series, which is something they actually did with Cedric Alexander. So Cedric Alexander is actually, that's his home promotion as well. So they did something similar that they did with Cedric with me. And so I got the opportunity to work with guys like Roderick Strong, Tommaso Ciampa on three separate occasions, Sammy Callahan, like Zack Sabre Jr., David Starr, like, and the list goes on and on. And so mm-hmm. not only did I get better, but I guess, you know, networking in that way also helped you. And yeah. the fact that it was on High Spots and some people were able to see it, and you'd be surprised how far it reaches, you know, promoters started, you know, kind of getting the hype, feeling the hype as well. And, mm-hmm. you know, I started getting a little bit more bookings here and there. And, you know, before you know it, the Evolve thing happened, and it's just kind of all of a whirlwind from there. You know, once I started working for WWN and Evolve and all that stuff, it really shot up from there.
Yeah, that is awesome. I mean, I have a list of like a who's who of guys that you've worked with written down. And you honestly, even in the names that you just dropped, you didn't even touch any of these names. So give me a brief what it's like to work with, say, a Trevor Lee, other than his crazy body hair, other than that.
Yeah, he's very good in the ring. He plays his role very well. Obviously very athletic, very gifted in that way. I had a lot of fun working with them. I've worked with them on two separate occasions, once way back in like 2012, and then again more recently, I think 2016 during the X16. But yeah, he's really good.
How about Eddie Edwards? Good to see Eddie Edwards getting his like really good shine right now in TNA. Just the stuff with him and Sammy Callahan is outstanding.
Oh, for sure. Really cool guy. Tremendous talent, hits hard, and he's actually the first guy to ever knock me out.
Really?
Ever.
Wow, interesting. How far back was that?
That was, I believe, maybe 2015, something like that.
You're like, I was knocked out. I don't fucking remember.
Yeah, well, I mean, and it was a power bomb that did it, but my head bounced off the mat, and yeah.
That was it, yeah. So I know you talked about Matt Riddle last time. How about Michael Elgin?
Very, very cool guy. I know he gets a lot of, all the stuff going on.
A lot of unnecessary stuff. Yeah, a lot of unnecessary stuff.
Right, for sure. And that's a topic we could probably talk about forever. But I like the guy. I think he's really cool. I think he has a passion, obviously, for the business, but he also has a passion for, I think, helping out the younger guys, which is kind of something he had started when he started the Glory Pro promotion and stuff like that. And all the things he was doing for that promotion before all the stuff happened.
Right, right.
But yeah, and it's kind of hard to have a bad match with Michael Elgin. So
yeah,
there's also that part.
I watched a match last night with you and Flip Gordon that I thought was outstanding. And one of the things I jotted down was that you were such a good base for the, you know, the jumps and the flips and all the stuff that he does. Working right. with him, how was that?
Oh, yeah. And the funny thing is like, I get along with him really well, and maybe more so than some of the other guys that you've listed. And and not to say that I don't get along with the others, but I'm closer to him because I kind of met him, and then at Evolve show, and then he also was at XWA, like one of his home promotions. So when I came in, we kind of became buddies. So finally working him, yeah, it was cool, and we had a lot of fun in that match. And and like I said, I'm not gonna do the flips, but I don't mind facing for them. So
if we're talking about the same match, I thought you were doing like a slight bit of comedy with the ref too. And one of the things that I always say in wrestling is, you know, I'm fine with comedy, but it has to be funny. You know, if it's stupid bullshit, I don't want to see it. And you were fucking around with the ref, like, you know, like fist bumping the ref because I think the ref caught your foot or his foot or something. So I thought that was actually entertaining. It was really creative. So last name I got. Yeah,
thank you.
The last name I got before I get to who my favorite match of yours was Drew McIntyre. It looked like you worked him a long time ago.
I did, but I will say that it was really, really short. That was in a tournament format for Style Battle, which was kind of the deal that WWN was doing when they had to deal with Slow Slam. So they had so many promotions they had to run shows for. And so I met with him on one of those, and the angle and everything that we were doing didn't allow for us to have like an entire match or like any real time to it. So it was about a 3-minute match, but I will say that he chopped the soul out of me. He's got the biggest hand that I've ever seen in my life. And he is a mountain of a man.
Yeah, he is a big dude. So that leads me to my favorite match that I uncovered. And that was Leo Rush last year in February, the Leo Rush match. Outstanding. Just, I mean, I don't think I jotted down anything less than about 3.5 stars on just about every match. But that one, just for whatever reason, the chemistry with you and him was outstanding there.
Yeah. And if you're talking about the MCW match.
Yeah, that's
I'm
the one.
Sure you are.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. So cool story there is that. That's not even the match that everybody talks about with us. There's another match that I believe is on Powerbomb.tv and possibly High Spots as well. I'm not sure about that, but I know for sure it's on Powerbomb. But there's a tournament that is that happens yearly now. It's called the Scenic City Invitational. A lot of the actually wrestling Twitter fans, they all kind of go and attend. They have a good time, but it's in Tennessee. And up to that point, I'd done all of them. I've done 3 in a row. And I met up with Leo Rush the first time in the second year. And that was kind of the match that like everybody was talking about. And probably another one of the matches that, you know, kind of got on Twitter and people were like, oh, who's this guy?
Yeah.
And we did have great chemistry right off the bat. He actually is also the guy who got that match that you saw booked. Uh-huh. He's just like messaged me one day. He's like, hey, man, I really want to get you up here to MCW. And he got it booked, and we had the match. And I think there were like something like 1,400 people there for that match. Because that was also that was the night that the Hardy Boys came in, and they were doing the whole thing.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, the broken something or other. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, that's one thing. No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, he's an absolute pleasure to work with. You know, again, he's another guy that I know gets a lot of bad press and stuff like that from peers and wrestling fans and whatnot, but he's always been really cool to me, and he was really easy to work with, and he was all about getting me over, and so I really appreciate him for that.
Yeah, one thing that I jotted down, like consistently, I kept jotting down chemistry when it came to you with all these other guys. I wrote down chemistry, and I'm like, you know, at some point I have to look, as opposed to looking at the, you know, the Cedric Alexanders and the Eddie Edwards, I got to look at you. You know, you bring an amazing chemistry to these matchups, man. So there's just something about you that gels with these guys so well.
Well, I appreciate that. I mean, I like to think that I'm easy to work with, you know, I'm not selfish. I'm not trying to just get myself over. So when I go into matches, I just want to have the best match possible, and that's for both of us, everybody that's involved in the match. So if that shows And that comes across as having great chemistry, and that's fantastic because that's exactly what you want in a working environment. So
for sure, for sure. One thing that I see, as people who listen to our show know, Shawn Michaels is probably my favorite guy throughout the history of wrestling, as long as I've been a fan. And there's a gene that you have that you share with him. The other guys that have this are Kevin Owens and the Young Bucks. You have this, you carry yourselves in the ring with this, this best, like, you know that you're the best performer that people are going to see tonight. You have this confidence. I'm not going to say it's a swagger, but it's just a general comfort in the ring. And you have, I'm not saying that you and Michaels are similar workers or anything, but there's just this, the way you carry yourself in the ring, it's just amazing to watch. If you're an educated fan, like I like to think that we are, it's just a pleasure to watch guys like you in the ring, man.
I appreciate that also. And like that, you're touching on a lot of things that it's just things that are, I share the same thoughts. And, because like what you say there is, I'm glad it comes across that way because, I was always the guy who, I just always had confidence in myself and I still do. And I don't really get nervous before wrestling matches too often. Even when like before I'd work any of the guys that I'd worked with in terms of like the more nationally known talent, like Roger Strong and all those guys, they were bringing in, like, I looked at it as like, because a lot of guys fall apart when that happens. They get put up against this guy, they get nervous and it just gets the best of them. And I just always had a confidence about me that, look, I'm going to go in there and do my thing. Yep. And I know that what I'm capable of. And that's just how I feel every time I go in there. And sometimes I feel like I have something to prove. And well, actually probably most of the time I feel like I have something to prove, especially if a certain crowd hasn't seen me. And so if it comes across that way, again, fantastic, because that's exactly how I feel when I'm in there.
Yeah, totally does. So we're going to take a brief time out. Stick with us, Anthony. We'll be right back after this commercial.
Yes, sir. Sure.
Shooting the Shiznit is exclusively sponsored this month by SpunkLube.com. SpunkLube is an award-winning personal lubricant that's fun. SpunkLube is available in four varieties: hybrid, pure silicone, natural, and pink. The newest addition to the SpunkLube family is SpunkLube Pink. The pink formula is colorful and fun to use. It's a special hybrid formula that's non-sticky and non-staining. All of their products are shipped in discreet packaging from D Enterprises. Please go to SpunkLube.com and order a unique, fun-to-use personal lubricant.
All right, welcome back. We are back with Indie Darling, Anthony Henry. Or no, it's Anthony Henry, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's at least my handle on all my social media.
Yeah. So I know you referenced once before, you referenced MMA. Did you've actually worked MMA?
Yeah, I fought. I have amateur and pro fights under my belt. So
okay. Was that something in the time I concentrated on off of pro wrestling, or was that before that?
Nope, sure was. Yep. I did do some stuff like while I was still wrestling as well, but I didn't actually compete, but I was training a little bit.
Yeah.
But when I took the hiatus, I totally concentrated on MMA.
Yeah, totally different world.
But I get hurt way more doing wrestling, so I'd say wrestling's way tougher.
Yeah, the travel and the number of matches you have versus the number of fights you probably had, right?
Sure, and then just the willingness. You're throwing yourself out there and hoping for the best. So, and sometimes it doesn't always go the way you want. So,
yeah, I mean, your style in the ring is very obviously mat based and very like hard hitting. Was there a transition of taking some of the moves that you have learned from MMA and bring it into pro wrestling?
Yeah, for sure. My wrestling style is totally, kind of transitioned, just like you said, over the years. Slowly you've just kind of seen more of just looking like a fight as I'm in there. And, and that's just kind of the style I like as well. And go back to talking about Japanese wrestling in general, but just also that shoot style is kind of, I just love that style. And so that's kind of what I try to bring, to the ring. I want all of my wrestling matches just to look like fights now. You know, I just want to look like I'm killing the guy, and I want the intensity to be there. And obviously doing the MMA training, I already know how to move. You know, I know I I know how to the footwork there, and then I can apply some of these things in a way that is realistic. And you can kind of tell the difference if you know, if you really know. If you don't know, you may not know the difference. But you know, I'd like to think that I bring a little bit of realism to that portion of what I do.
Yeah. And speaking of transitioning from MMA to wrestling, how do you think Ronda Rousey is doing so far? I know it's a small sample size.
Oh man, I feel like she's a superstar.
Yeah.
And I feel like she's only going to get way better. And I've enjoyed everything she's done up to now. And I think, you know, sky's the limit for her. She's going to do fantastic.
Yeah. Were you in the same camp as the rest of us, like shocked at how good that first match was and how natural she looked?
Yeah. You know, like I thought she would do okay, but I definitely was not expecting it to be that good.
Yeah, exactly. So, so we talked about like injuries and things like that. Is the Takahashi broken neck kind of sobering to you for like the high flying guys? I know you don't do as much of that stuff, but is that kind of sobering in this day and age?
Yeah, you know, I think more than anything, I think like just, you know, and then also with the concussions, the data that's come across from about concussions over the past few years is like, I think guys are kind of realizing, you know, like some of the stuff that we do, we got to chill out. And then there's other guys who obviously they still take these risks. I probably never would have taken that bump to begin with. I've always been scared of that one. And I know Ibushi and a couple other guys have done that move before. And it just freaks me out. And I think about that when I'm in the ring for sure. I might do some stupid stuff sometimes, but, if there's anything, where it is the slightest chance that I'm going to fall on my head or neck, I'm probably going to ixnay that, you know, if I could take a flat back bump, I'm good, you know, like if I could protect myself.
Yeah, and that's two guys that have worked together dozens and dozens of times, too. And, I mean, you figure they know each other's ins and outs, and their chemistry is probably better than any two guys I've ever seen. And it still happened the way it did, so it's too bad.
Exactly. So you never know. So my thing is, was the pop they were going to get off that one move, had it gone the way they wanted it to, is it going to be worth, you know, the risk that they took? And you see what happens.
Right,
so.
Exactly. Which kind of leads me to, I know you talked about on part one, you talked about married with a kid. How do you balance like the work that you do and the fact that you have a wife and a kid back home?
Yeah. Sometimes it's pretty crazy. Like, because, just because I don't work, all I do is wrestle. So, you know, I'm pretty much home during the day, but then, you know, trying to get the workouts in and go tan and then like cook. And then, you know, and then I got to get my stuff ready for the shows that I'm leaving out on a Friday and just all the things that we have going on in our life and like remodeling the house and things like that. Yeah. It can get pretty crazy sometimes. And, you know, it's stressful and all that sort of stuff. But I mean, we just balance it the best we can. And, you know, I have a supportive family. You know, my wife's behind me all the way. She's a little bit involved if you don't know that. So, she's actually the daughter of David Young and she does some balleting for me. So she's in the business. She kind of understands it, which helps of course.
Yeah, definitely.
My daughter hates wrestling, but, she still supports me. So
how old is she?
She just turned 11.
Okay. Oh, wow. So she's definitely old enough to know what dad's doing and to understand the business a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. And if I come home with like, you know, a scrape or bruising or marks or whatever, she'll be like, Daddy,
what did you do?
Like, what? Yeah, basically. And I'm like, it's wrestling. Stuff happens. Yeah.
I mean, I think that the fact that you have a wife and a kid, and especially a wife who understands the business, I think that probably in your mind, it probably changes some of those bumps a little bit because you have to realize that you got two people back at home that care very much and that you got to change things up. You can't be affording to take those neck bumps like you talked about.
Oh, yeah. And you know, we talked about Eddie Edwards earlier, and that was the one moment that was because that was the worst one I've had. And I've been knocked out, you know, like flash knockouts that a couple of times. But that was the one where, like, I got knocked out and I was out for a couple minutes. And that one scared me. Scared me almost to the point where I was like, man, maybe I need to do something else.
Yeah.
Because I did start thinking about my daughter and my wife and stuff like that. And so, yeah, it's definitely always in my head. But try to keep those concussions down to a minimum for sure. Yeah. I want to be able to, you know, run around with my kid when, you know, sure. I'm like 50 years old or whatever.
Yeah. I know it surprised me when you said in part one that you were like, I think at the time you were like 34. I'm like, what? That guy looks like he's about 22, 23. So that was shocking.
Yeah, that's
to me,
great.
So.
That's a good part about genetics, you know.
Yeah,
exactly. I was lucky enough to get the ones I got, and yeah. So yeah, everybody thinks I'm younger than I am, and I'm gonna keep it that way. Actually, I should just do this. I should just maybe fib a little bit about my age, you know. Maybe I guess it's too late now. It's already out there, but
yeah, it's out there on the internet. So you said that this is what you do. This is it now. So I was gonna add, that was one of my questions, is when was the last regular job you had? What was the last thing you did before you broke into wrestling enough that you could, that pays the bills now?
Yeah. The last job I had was a personal trainer, and that's actually what, essentially my college education, is in that same field, but I was a personal trainer, and that was easier, with the schedule and everything, to be a personal trainer, because you just kind of pick and choose when you want to work. Mm-hmm. But I haven't done that in over a year. So
awesome. Yeah. That's cool. It's awesome that it's paying the bills between the merch sales and the fact that you're working so many indies. Is the merch sales for an indie guy, is it as big as it seems to be? Is it as much as the actual pay?
If you have a good day, for sure. If you have a good day, it makes all the difference in the world. I mean, you could definitely easily double or triple what you make just based off of your fee.
Right,
it just depends on where you're at, if that crowd's familiar with you, you know, however you are, what they're doing with you, things like that. But yeah, it definitely helps.
Yeah, I bet the Young Bucks could probably tell me a few stories about the merch.
Oh, man. And I've, like, just for example, I can give you one little story that I have, and it's not on them, but it's on somebody who is affiliated with them, I guess you could say. Uh-huh. Chase Owens from the Bullet Club, friends with him, but known him for a while. And, you know, since joining the Bullet Club, he's able to sell the merchandise, the Bullet Club t-shirts, things like that. He's made $600-$800 in, you know, just on a regular small indie show.
Wow.
Just based off selling those shirts. And that's on top of what, you know, he's making for his appearance. So.
Right. That's outstanding. That's outstanding. It's like we always say, there's probably fewer fans of wrestling now, but the ones who are hardcore into it. And they, I mean, even me, I don't even consider myself a merch guy, but I have at least a dozen merch like shirts hanging in my closet from just wanting to support you guys, just wanting to, you know, help you guys pay the bills and show appreciation. So it's definitely a big part of it.
That's fantastic. And, you know, sometimes I'll see fans that, will come over and buy a shirt, and they might have like 5 or 6 shirts in their hand already.
Yeah.
So they're just buying everybody's stuff, and it's fantastic for everybody, you know, involved. And like you said, there might be less fans. I'm not even sure about that though, because indie wrestling obviously is bigger than it's ever been.
Yeah.
And, the ability to make money as an independent wrestler and never having to go to WWE or even New Japan or anywhere like that is like, you can do it now. It's very fathomable to do it.
Yeah, definitely. Changing gears. Your persona in the ring, please don't take this the wrong way, but you're a dick. You're just an asshole in the ring. So you come across on here and on part one, like, you're the nicest guy in the world, man. Talking to you for real, you're the nicest guy. How do you flip the switch? How do you become that asshole that I've seen you do live? I've seen you in the ring at Freelance becoming such a jerk.
You know, it's actually really easy for me, because if I'm being honest, like, I have that part of me, and I think everybody does, but I can be very condescending and very, this is my nature, you know, patronizing, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
I think I come across, like, if you see me, I think I have what you call resting bitch face a lot of times.
Okay.
So, at least that's what the females call it, you know, but, yeah, that's what my wife calls it. But, I just look angry all the time. And I look almost like that guy. I feel like, at least that guy in high school, you just like want to punch him in the face, because, you know, a lot of people, I would say that I'm handsome, you know, I have the douchey tattoos, I guess, you know, I have a nice body, whatever it is. So it's kind of easy for me to just kind of flip that switch. And plus, being honest, like, I hate 90% of the people I meet. because the world is trash. And we can get on that as another topic and the morals and all this, you know, that everybody has, but whatever. So it's kind of easy for me because I can kind of look down my nose at people and kind of feel some type of way, if you will.
That's hilarious.
And, yeah. Just be that guy.
Yeah. Well, you fit right in on this show. So have you ever worked face?
Yeah. Yeah. And there's some places that will even do it now. And it's always a weird thing.
Yeah.
In fact, I was working like a couple weeks ago at a place and they had me be a baby face. And it was around an area where I also work a different promotion. And, one of the guys that was behind the camera, I came out and he was by the commentary booth and I come out and I'm all, you know, white meat baby face Henry. And he's like, oh, white meat baby face Henry. What in the world? He's like, actually, no, tan meat baby face Henry. And that's more accurate. But yeah, so it is kind of weird at this point because I'm pretty much heel everywhere.
Yeah.
But yeah, sometimes it happens.
Yeah, I think you're a natural heel for sure. So please don't turn. So what came easy to you? Like, I can look at you in the ring and you're a polished act from the minute you get in the ring. When you were starting out, what came easily to you? Was it the wrestling itself, the promos, the persona?
For sure. The wrestling. So we talked about confidence earlier.
Yeah.
And I've been confident in my abilities for a really long time. However, my confidence as a human being, my confidence in my personality, my confidence in just being confident in myself in general, has been a work in progress. And, I was always the guy who would kind of be by himself and even in locker room, sit in the corner. And I wouldn't really talk to that many people, which also kind of goes along with that whole thing we're talking about being a dick. People would assume that I was a dickhead and just thought I was better. And I still have that part of my personality. But when I met my wife, she's a social butterfly, and she kind of helped me get out of, you know, the groove that I was in, that bad groove that I was in. And I've opened up a lot, and that's helped me out with other areas of my professional wrestling. So the wrestling came natural at first, just the actual in-ring stuff. Later on, as I progressed in my personal life, I also progressed in my professional life and was able to kind of show more of character and be able to do some of the promos and stuff like that better as well.
So were the promos the biggest challenge for you as far as becoming as polished as you are now?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, for sure. And I would say they're still a work in progress, but I'm at least confident in my ability to cut a promo now. So.
Yeah. Yeah, you should be, because the stuff I've seen here, man, just outstanding. The chemistry, again, there's that word again, that chemistry with you and Fierce is just outstanding. So you mentioned your ink earlier, and I know on the first part you mentioned that it was a lot of Japanese influences. What are like some of the meanings of some of the tattoos that you've got?
Right. So, I mean, pretty much the vibe that I was going with and the story behind what I was going after, which is totally unfinished and hopefully one day it will be when I get some more money. But so basically I was splitting up the sides. On one side you kind of have peace, tranquility, you know, more happy go lucky tattoos and influences. Then on the right side you would have kind of like more death, despair, that sort of thing. So it was kind of like the yin and yang in a way as well. So like I have, for example, the Oni mask, which in Japanese culture is essentially like a monster, kind of evil type of figure. Then I have the samurai on the right side, which is all about fighting spirit and honor and integrity and things like that. So that's kind of the vibe going with. And like I said, it's unfinished. But and then like also I have the koi fish on my left forearm, and the koi fish, the deal behind the koi fish, well, at least in Japanese folklore or whatever, is that the koi fish swims upstream much like the salmon and goes through all these obstacles and stuff, and at the end of it, at the end of their journey, they transform into a beautiful dragon.
Nice.
So I have that on the left side.
So the tats remind me of one of the matches that I saw you do. Like, just in the body of the match, you did something where you said it's clobbering time. And, you know, it got me thinking, I don't know if you do that in every match or that was a one-off or whatever, but it got me thinking, that was that definitely an homage to CM Punk?
Oh, for sure. And that's funny. I was actually going to mention that earlier. We were talking about that Flip Gordon match. Mm-hmm. That's the match I did that in. The comedy, because you mentioned comedy.
Right, right.
The one comedy spot we did in the match that was intentional and we had planned, it didn't actually really get over with the crowd at all. They didn't understand what was happening. But if you go back and watch, Flip Gordon gets called John Cena a lot. They say he looks like John Cena. So the deal was when he made his comeback, he did the whole John Cena comeback. Then I cut him off in the middle of that comeback, and I did the whole old CM Punk comeback.
Got it.
And so when I yell clobbering time, it was definitely referring to CM Punk because that's what we were going after. But the crowd was like, huh? I don't know. Cool moves.
It got me thinking that you kind of resemble him a little bit. And then with the ink, similar ink too. So I'm like, oh, okay. So he must be a fan of Punk behind the scenes here.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've gotten that a couple of times. And
yeah,
I remember at one point I was even thinking about using the Anaconda Vice. And then I was like, wait, probably can't do that because, you know, I'm going to get told that I'm just copying CM Punk.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I said, there's enough of a resemblance that I could see that. So we're getting low on time. So I wanted to wrap up with we talked last week with one of the young ladies that we interviewed, Hyan, about the weirdos on social media. Do you, as a guy wrestler, do you encounter that too? Like the freak jobs on Twitter and Facebook and so on?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I do. It's unfortunate, but it is part of the business. And I will say, I'm sure, probably in any kind of entertainment business, everybody probably gets these, but
yeah,
some wrestling fans are some of the weirdest people ever. I have a guy who routinely messages me on Facebook and every single day, and I have not responded. Then I went to muting the conversation so that I don't get notified. Yet still, when I pull up my messages, I can see where he has messaged me every single day. And the only reason I have not deleted him is because he's a big fan of mine, and that's cool. And I see him at shows, and he buys my merch, so I don't want to be a total D-I-C-K again, you know? But, yeah, I don't understand. Actually, my wife also had a weird experience. Like I said, she's valeted me in some places, and PWX being one of those places. And there was a guy who he knew it was her birthday. He found out it was her birthday. And he went all the way from North Carolina, drove himself up to Georgia at a show that we were doing just so that he could present her with this birthday present.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, there's some weirdos out there for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I would imagine the female wrestlers have it worse than the guys. But I mean, at this point, it's probably both. So
you never know. But yeah.
I am pretty certain that the guy who's stalking you is not Trammell. It's probably not him, I'm pretty sure. And I can guarantee you it's not me, man. I'm a huge fan, but that ain't happening. So anyway, Anthony, just so fantastic talking to you tonight. Thank you so much. This was fantastic time. Thank you for everything. We're definitely, and we'll be seeing you in freelance in Chicago real soon.
Yes, you will, for sure. I got some unfinished business with Mr. Stevie Fierce because he won't leave me alone.
That's true.
So we're going to see what happens there. I beat him at Evolve. He won't give it up, man. So we're going to see what happens.
I could that fight forever, as far as I'm concerned, man. You guys are awesome together. Thank you, Anthony. It's been great. And thanks, listeners. And we will see you, or you'll hear us, or however that goes, next week.
Hey, remember, join us same bat time, same bat channel on the best of the wrestling podcast in the business. Be there. Love my mama. Hope y'all enjoyed that episode. And as always, we're looking for contestants on Who Wants to Be the Best Shiznitter Ever. We also have t-shirts at wehavemerch.com. That's wehavemerch.com. $12.99. Starting at $12.99. Sizes all the way up to 6XL. Shooting the Shiznit exclusively sponsored this month by SpunkLube.com. That's SpunkLube.com. Spunk Lube is an award-winning personal lubricant. That's fun. Spunk Lube is available in 4 varieties: hybrid, pure silicone, natural, and pink. You can reach me at comicbookmarkbt on Twitter, BT Shooting the Shiznit on Instagram. We're also on Facebook. You can talk to us, me and Lance and everyone at Cool Kids Wrestling and MMA Talk Facebook group. We also have a Shoot the Shiznit Facebook group. All the archives are at www.stspod.club. You can listen to this podcast on SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher, Player FM, Podcast Addict, Spreaker, and other fine podcast players. I want to give a big shout out to my podcast bros, Suplex City Limits, Creative Control, Who's Right Podcasts, and P3 Radio. Also a big shout out to WrestlingNewsCenter.com, LocalsToLegends.com with Gene Jackson, who also has his podcast, and my old buddy Bob McGee at ProWrestlersBetweenTheSheets.com. If you like this episode and would like to donate to the show, then send $5 to PayPal at Brian_Trammell, T-R-A-M-E-L, at Yahoo.com. Join us next week! You can't fight the friction!